Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Thomas More's Utopia. Sophie, did you know that the title literally plays a trick on you, since it means both good place and no place?
Oh yes, and that's the whole key. More is writing a perfect society that he knows can't exist, but he uses it to critique the Europe of his day. It's like a satire and a philosophical treatise rolled into one.
A good place that's no place. That's a wild concept to hang an entire book on.
Exactly. And it's framed as a conversation. More is in Antwerp on a diplomatic trip, and he meets this traveler named Hithloday, who sailed to the edge of the world with Amerigo Vespucci. The guy starts trashing the English justice system.
He points out that hanging a man for stealing a sheep is barbaric, because the real crime is the social system that forces him to steal in the first place.
Right. And he names the enclosures, where nobles kick farmers off common land to graze sheep. So you have thousands of people with no home and no job, and then you hang them for trying to survive. It's mad.
So his conclusion is that the entire foundation is private property. As long as a few people hoard everything, everyone else is just a thief or a beggar. And that's exactly what Utopia is built to reject.
Yes, nothing belongs to anyone. They draw lots to change houses every 5 years, so no one gets attached to a dwelling. And gold and silver are treated with total contempt. They're used to make chamber pots and chains for slaves.
So they've engineered a way greed itself by making treasure worthless.
Exactly. And they're not miserable ascetics. They believe pleasure is the goal of life, but it's a refined pleasure. Health, knowledge, kindness, the beauty of nature, not the cheap thrill of owning stuff.
The most shocking part of the book is the workday. Only 6 hours, and everyone works, every man and woman, on a farm and a craft. So the necessary work gets done fast, and the rest of the day is yours for learning and music and just thinking.
That's why they have such a high culture. They're not exhausted and exploited. They have the time to cultivate their minds instead of just surviving.
Their political system is clever too. 54 identical cities, and each one is a federation of households. Every 30 households elect a Sifigrant, and every 10 Sifigrants elect a Tranibor. Then the Tranibors and the Prince form the council.
And it's a capital offense to decide public affairs outside the council or the assembly. That's to prevent conspiracies and secret power plays, which were everywhere in European courts.
Now, the family stuff is interesting. Before you marry, you have to see each other naked just to avoid being fooled by clothes and manners. More's character is shocked, but the Utopians think it's plain sense.
And women are educated, can become priestesses, and work alongside men in the fields. The family is still patriarchal, but women aren't invisible. That's pretty progressive for the 1500s.
That's surprising for the era.
Absolutely. On religion, they have this rational theism. Most worship a single creator they call Mithras, but they allow all beliefs as long as you don't preach intolerance. It was King Eudippus who decreed this because he thought religious conflict threatened the state.
And atheists are only kept out of office, not burned at the stake. They figure someone with no fear of divine punishment might break promises, so they can't be trusted in charge. It's pragmatic, not theological.
Yes, and they hate war. They think it's brutish and beneath rational people. They'll fight to defend themselves or their allies, or to liberate the oppressed, but they'd rather use bribery, propaganda, and even assassination to avoid the bloodshed.
They even hire mercenaries from this neighboring tribe called the Zapolites to take the brunt of it. Their own soldiers are trained for discipline, not glory, and they measure victory by how many citizens they keep alive. It's a direct jab at European chivalry.
But we can't ignore the flaws. They have slaves, even if they're prisoners of war or criminals. And the society is extremely homogeneous. All cities, houses, and clothes are identical. Travel outside your own city requires a passport, and leaving without one is punished.
So the price of harmony is a controlled, almost oppressive uniformity. There's no room for eccentrics or brilliant misfits. It's a society that values community over individuality to an extreme.
And that's why the book is so fascinating. Moore isn't handing us a perfect world. He's showing us a consistent one, and it's both alluring and troubling. He even has the character of Moore himself listen politely and raise some doubts.
Right. He says some of the utopian rules seem strange and impractical. He can't fully agree with Hithloday, but he admits he wishes some of those ideas, like abolishing private property, could be tried in Europe.
And then comes that final line, where he says he'd rather be a citizen of Utopia than of his own Commonwealth. It's so hopeful and sad at the same time.
It gets me every time. He knows it's a no place, but he still longs for it. That's the spirit of the whole book, isn't it?
It's a direction, not a destination. A lens for critiquing the present, and a reminder that things can be otherwise.
And honestly, that feels more urgent today than ever. We're still fighting over resources, still turning poverty into a crime, still buying into the idea that war is glorious. Reading Utopia is like holding a mirror up to our own society.
It pushes you to ask, is our love of private property really natural, or is it a habit we've been taught? Could we build a society around cooperation instead of competition? The book doesn't give easy answers, but it opens the door.
The part I'm taking with me is that imagining a better world, even a flawed, impossible one, is a political act. It gives us a standard to measure our own reality and maybe nudge it towards something more just.
And if that kind of thinking appeals to you, you can explore more ideas with the 7-Minute Books app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles, which you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Head to 7minutebooks.com/app to get it. So remember, Utopia is never a place you can find on a map. It's a question you keep asking, and that question is a kind of hope. We'll catch you in the next one.